back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a punch it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, reunited with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going pretty well. It's been a hell of a week for the Flyers, a hell of a past couple weeks. Again, I apologize for being absent. But last week, I was, as you said on the Twitter, I was boots on the ground for Flyers Rangers at Wells Fargo Center,
which was not Patrick Kane's Ranger debut, like I said it was.
Yeah. I mean, I got lucky where one of my friends was nice enough to give me free tickets. And then one of my friends, him and I, went down there. And I'll tell you what, man. You talk about boots on the ground. I'll get more into that later, but it was not boots on the ground in a good way. So that was a hell of a game to be at. And then the Flyers have had, what, 2 games since we've last convened with a win against the Red Wings on Sunday. Yay for a W. And then a pretty ugly loss last night at the hands of the Tampa Bay Lightning, who were – but struggling mightily these past couple weeks. And of course, I mean, it's like anything else. If you need a win, if you need your first NHL goal, if you need to break a losing streak or anything like that, you play the Flyers and everything just comes right back to you. So,
yep.
Classic one there. And then, you know, we just kind of go over the absolute, excuse my language, the absolute shit show that the trade deadline was for this team. Once again, how the fan base is just completely fed up with management and, yeah, I mean, all of the above. So it's very, I think it's going to be a very heavy Flyers-based podcast for our Flyers podcast, obviously, so we can kind of talk about what we want. But
yes.
Dave, as I know, you and Hoagie last week were talking about pretty much, I mean, the biggest trades that happened before the deadline even happened with Kane and then like a few other guys. I'm blanking on them off the top of my head, but obviously Patrick Kane was a huge one. Jonathan Quick. So a lot happened, but we don't want to bore you for 3.5 hours talking about every single trade that happened. So we're going to keep it pretty Flyers minded tonight with the exception of maybe a few little around the league topics.
Yeah. I feel like the only, the biggest trade to actually go down on the deadline day, I think was, did Chychrun get moved on deadline day or did he get moved before deadline day? And I can't remember if Hogan and I talked about the Chychrun deal last week or not.
I think he did. Let me just double check. He got moved to the Senators, obviously.
Yeah, for just draft picks. And I know Paul Bissonnette on this week's Chicklets was actually said he was disappointed in the return, but good for Ottawa.
Yeah.
And good for Claude Giroux, too. He finally goes to his GM and says, hey, listen, I think we're close here. It'd be nice if you could get a piece for the boys and I for us to go on a nice little run here.
Oh, actually, it was before the deadline, March 1st.
So we must have talked about that then. But good for Claude Giroux to finally have a GM who realizes the level of talent he has on his team. He says, you know what? I'm going to do this because my team asked for it, and I think they're good enough to earn a player like this. Because, man, you add Chychrun to already that decor that's got Jake Sanderson and Thomas Chabot.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good left side.
Yeah, I mean, I think we both said at the beginning of the year that the Senators were going to be a team to watch out for. And, I mean, let's see where they're at now. Division.
They're
fifth in the Atlantic. And then they are – actually, they're only 5 points out of a wild card in the East. So, I mean, it's not impossible, but, I mean, they have teams ahead of them They have Florida ahead of them. They're as of right now on Wednesday night, they're tied with the Buffalo Sabres and the Washington Capitals with amount of points in the standings at 68. In front of them for the two division wild cards right now, or yeah, for the East, the Islanders and the Penguins. But I mean, this is when everything gets interesting, where after the trade deadline happens, teams that are going for it, you would think go for it, unless you're the Flyers, but I mean, they're not making the playoffs anyway, but they were supposed to go for it in another sense anyway. But teams that are going for it, go for it. Teams that already know that they're going for it, I mean, i.e. the Bruins or the Leafs, like, they just, I mean, again, you just pretty much just, it's an arms race where it's like.
I mean, that's a rough look for the Leafs, though, with O'Reilly having a broken finger and being out for 4 months now.
Oh, yeah.
That's brutal, because essentially you can just call that trade a wash because he's not going to play for you.
Yep.
For the rest of this year.
It's just Toronto's luck, I think.
Yeah.
It'll be we almost got the Game 7 champions.
Or no, we made it to Game 7 but dropped the ball in Game 7 like they've been doing like the past 4 years.
Yeah. I don't know what's worse. I mean, honestly, I'm kind of glad the Flyers are horrible, but like, it would be nice to be in the playoffs, but like, it would also suck where it's like, we're going for the cup, and then it's like, 5 days later, it's like, shit, like, actually, you know, we're proud of what we did, but it didn't work out, and it's like, dude, you just embarrassed yourself for the fourth or fifth year in a row because you can't make it out of the first round.
Yeah, I think if the Leafs don't go very far this year, I think Kyle Dubas is not getting a contract extension because he's actually up after this season. So
yeah.
Enough around the league talk for now, though.
Yeah,
we've got some venting and ranting that might be a little explicit to do this evening, folks. As we all know, last Friday was the NHL trade deadline, and Chuck Fletcher and the core that is the Flyers leadership group has their heads stuck up their collective asses and did not make the necessary moves they needed to make. They made some partial moves.
Yeah.
They did some things that Hoagie and I talked about, but all they did was they first sent an unrestricted free agent forward, Zach MacEwen, and they sent him to LA for forward Brendan Lemieux and a fifth round pick in next year's draft, 2024, a deal in which Chuck Fletcher said, you know what, I was just going to always send MacEwen to the Kings for the fifth, but Ron Blake told me that, hey, I need to move a body here. So I took on Lemieux just to help him out. Oh, thanks for that, Chuck. Thanks. And then the other deal they made was sending Patrick Brown to the Ottawa Senators for a sixth-round pick in this year's draft. They did not move Justin Braun. They did not move James Van Riemsdyk. And they did not make any several other trades that they were apparently leaked to supposedly be talking about. Mm-hmm. Those might now happen at the draft. Ooh, let's see what happens. But the big thing here, Mastro, before I give you your time with the talking stick, is they don't trade JVR and they don't trade Justin Braun.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on good old Chucky Two Trades, as they call him?
How many F-bombs can I drop before we have to get taken off the air, so to speak?
I mean, I normally allow one for each of us an episode if we don't want to upset the masses too much.
No, I mean, I don't even have to use that to express my point. I think there's just, I can't even say we're right back to where we were, because we never got away from where we are, Fletcher and Tortorella, I think, were clear going into the deadline that basically, for long story short, we're going to be sellers. And it's like, oh, like, okay, like, this might actually be, like, a step in the right direction.
Interesting.
And, like, I mean, again, Fletcher made it clear that the impending UFAs were available. He was going to try to maybe, again, stock up on draft picks, move a guy like JVR, move a guy like Justin Braun. Pretty much no one was safe with the exception of a handful of players. So we thought, okay, like, maybe, like, we'll see what happens here. But then once again, we're spoon-fed complete lies. And the fruition of the trade deadline for the Flyers is a fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick, and Brendan Lemieux. That's all you can do? Like, you're an NHL GM. You know that this is – you should know, or at least I would hope that you know that your job – you're like the number one most hated person in the city at this point. If even if Ben Simmons still was here, people would be like, I hate Chuck Fletcher more than Ben Simmons. And I would be like, yeah, I agree. But it's just, again, it's crazy. It's baffling. It's nothing new. There's so many of the same emotions, feelings, and thoughts behind what happened, where you get this, like, not even a grand gesture, but it's like a grand promise. And then it just ends up becoming completely empty. And, like, Fletcher was, he was adamant about, like, oh, we're going to try to get some reclamation projects with, like, players that might just need a change of scenery, blah, blah, blah. Kind of doing, like, what the Flyers did with Owen Tippett, which I have to say, Tippett, I love that guy.
Yeah, so far he's panning out.
Yeah, I'll get into it more when we talk about the Rangers game, but the dude was buzzing. But other than that, it's like, continually, Fletcher and the Flyers front office have talked the talk, but they can't walk the walk. And why that is at this point, is beyond me. And I think it's just plain incompetence, where the GM of our team, or the GM of any team, should know what the market is like for players that you're willing to get rid of. You should have a quote-unquote trading block, where you have a short list of guys that you want to move, or a short list of assets that you want to trade for. Maybe you don't want to take on another body, but it's like, we got Chuck Fletcher here basically plugging in trades on the NHL video game and then calling up someone and being like, hey, this worked in the game. Do you think we could do it in real life? And they're like, dude, are you crazy? Like, it's just, again, I wonder too, with like what kind of reputation he as a GM has among the other ones, where it's like, are there other GMs that are questioning, how the hell does this guy still have a job? Does he even know what he's doing? Like, does he even deserve to be? Because it's like, so many other teams were active, whether they were in the mix or the playoffs or not. They were active in moving their team in what they think is the right direction. And again, that remains to be seen, because it's only a week after the deadline, pretty much. But the Flyers are still dead in the water, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to having any sort of stocked trade pick, stock draft picks, any sort. They didn't even get any reclamation project. Brendan Lemieux is going to be here for a cup of coffee, and then we're just going to get rid of him. He's just basically.
Oh no, you know he's going to get. You know he's going to get extended or re-signed. If he keeps, he's actually, so far in the games I've seen, he's actually played pretty decent as a third, fourth liner. And you know Chuck Fletcher, before when or if he ever does get fired, you bet your bottom dollar ass he's going to get re-signed. Because if he keeps on playing the way he's playing, that's going to be a player that Torts likes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think, again, between Brendan Lemieux and Tony D'Angelo now, it's like we really are just reflecting the fact that Philadelphia, that people think Philadelphia is a city full of scumbags. Like,
you'd add Ivan Provorov in that mix, too.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, again, I think there's not much more to be said than, again, it's just another complete and utter failure by the front office. And, I mean, I feel bad for Tortorella, because I'm sure he's thinking to himself, what is this guy doing? But, like, you have to, again, if you're the head coach, you have to kind of, you have to be in the corner of your GM. Like, you have to trust their process, as much as you might not want to. But I think at this point, if I'm Tortorella, you focus on the rest of this year. Obviously, there's only, I think, 18 games left at this point.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah. But it's like, Torts, I mean, he's done a great job in bringing out some of the younger players' talent. Where, I mean, before he sadly got hurt, Konechny's having a career year. Owen Tippett's really come out of his shell. Joel Farabee, I mean, there was that stuff with him and Torts not getting along, but then they kind of hashed it out as, this is nonsense. And, like, Farabee, I mean, again, he kind of, I think he had surgery a lot earlier than we thought he was going to have.
Yeah, he had a pretty, like, intense back surgery in the offseason. It didn't get really a chance to prepare and rehab fully for the start of the season.
Yeah.
So he essentially came into camp with not having a summer preparation. And whenever that happens, you're behind the eight ball. We saw it with Giroux. We saw it with Ghost. You know, typically, I think we'll see a return to form for Joel Farabee next season. But, you know, he's got his own problems. He had a great game Sunday. Then he got benched for half the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's torch is going to torch, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I think Tortorella's done kind of the job that we thought he was going to do, which is refreshing in a sense because obviously our GM can't do the job he's supposed to do. But I think Tortorella's done what he can to bring out some sort of resurgence in these young players like Frost, Farabee, Konechny. I mean, Cam York's been up here for the majority of the season, so he's gotten a lot more NHL experience under his belt. Owen Tippett, again, I mean, I think has been the standout star for me where he's been – he's forming into the player that we hope that he can be, which is a great, like a good player, which is awesome.
Another player who he's helped out big time too is Ristolainen.
Yeah.
You know, Risto, while he's lost all seemingly skillful traits he had on offense, he's actually become a solid defensive defenseman. Like he's got analytically good defensive defenseman numbers and he's looked good on the ice in that role. Yeah. So
I think from here on out, though, it's just going to kind of be – I mean, it's really a formality at this point to play the last 18 games because even Fletcher was adamant and Tortorella was like, the guys that can still be on the Phantoms, they want – he wants them to get Calder Cup playoff experience so that that could better translate into them becoming mainstays in the NHL, which is, I think, the right move. I mean, you have – like, it was cool. I got to see Elliot Denoyer in person at the Rangers game last weekend, and I was hyped because I've seen, obviously, what he can do. He think he was in, what, the QMJHL?
Played for Halifax.
Yeah. So, like, I saw highlights from him in there, like, with the Phantoms, and I'm like, this kid can play. Like, and it was cool to see him. I mean, he was like a little water bug out there, which was nice. I mean – I'm looking forward to seeing kind of what he can become and obviously him getting experience in the Calder Cup playoffs. I think the Phantoms are obviously in a lot better spot than the Flyers, which is, I mean, a good thing, I guess, if these guys are going to translate to NHL players. So maybe that's a little bit of like a glimmer of hope. But yeah, I mean, I think at this point, again, the rest of the season's a formality. I really, as much as I love this team, again, I'm at the point where it's like, I'm not going to kind of go out of my way to be like, oh, I have to be home at 7 o'clock to watch the Flyers. Like, I didn't even watch. I watched the last 2 minutes of the game last night because of what we'll talk about soon. But it's like, other than that, it's like, okay, like, what is there to watch at this point? Like, just to kind of continually know kind of how bad they are, how outmatched they are against these teams. Like, sure, there's guys that have good games and bad games, but it's like, we're right back to where we were last year, where we have been the last couple of years, where they're not going to make the playoffs. The front office is still stupid. And, like, the next thing to look forward to at this point is the draft because, again, we'll get these big promises, and we already have. Oh, well, we'll be active at the draft. We'll try to get the right players, blah, 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 free agency. And it's like, you said that last year, and you didn't even go after Johnny Gaudreau, and now he's on the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I even heard rumors that Kevin Hayes wants to go to the Columbus because then he can play with Gaudreau as a teammate. Like,
I mean, I've been hearing rumblings that apparently Carolina is interested in getting Hayes with salary retained.
Yeah, I've heard that too. But it's like, the Flyers are getting the shit end of the stick on all these deals.
Because Chuck Fletcher's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, well, there's our one.
There it is. Yeah, there's my one.
Yep. But, yeah, I mean, that's the sentiment right there. But, I mean, again, it's like we have wasted so much of our breath in kind of getting angry and frustrated, and it's like that's all you can really do is just continue to vent your frustration. Like, I mean, I'm glad. I'm glad and very grateful that my friend gave me the tickets that I had last week, but it's like, I didn't even want to, like, I was like, this is be good for me. Like, I'll get out of the house, blah, blah, blah. Like, spend some time with my friend. Like, and I mean, it was cool because there was a giveaway at the end of the game, which again, terrible move by the Flyers. You literally are asking for people to have like a Black Friday situation where everyone's trying to get home as quickly as possible. And you're trying to hand out Flyers ice cube molds. Like, I ended up with 3 of them, which was great. Like, I'm getting something out of this game besides And honestly, again, we'll get into it. It was actually a good hockey game, but for other reasons, I was like, oh my God. So, but going back to the trade deadline, again, it's just a continual vote of no confidence in Chuck Fletcher and any of the, like, the Comcast cronies that you want to call them. Because it's like, this team is just, again, it's, I don't mean to be too dramatic here, but it's like, this team is a soulless corporate shell. Yep. And I'll get more into that again when I go over the Rangers game and we do our week in review. But other than that, Dave, I mean, that's all I really have to say about the trade deadline.
I mean, just for my thoughts on the trade deadline, it's adamantly clear that Chuck Fletcher is doing what Chuck Fletcher did in Minnesota. The Flyers are now the white bread of hockey, and they're stuck in hockey purgatory. And until Comcast Spectacor wakes the hell up and cleans house completely, and by clean house completely, I mean you're just not firing Chuck Fletcher. You're firing Danny Briere. You're firing every advisor, Paul Holmgren, Bobby Clark, Bill Barber. The whole lot of them need to get the hell away from this hockey team. None of them. Like, Danny Briere. Why am I mad at Danny Briere? I'm not mad at Danny Briere per se, but he has been groomed and been taught how to be a GM by Chuck Fletcher. And to me, that is unacceptable. And he is no longer a viable replacement to be the next general manager of this hockey club. And if for some reason the Flyers don't clear house and they do fire Chuck Fletcher, they better as hell not promote him upstairs and keep his title president of hockey ops. He needs to go. The fact that you could not move JVR at all at this deadline for even a third or fourth round pick is inexcusable. There were lesser players traded at this deadline that got a higher value than JVR. And you're telling me no one was calling you? Really? No one was calling you? I'm fine with the Patrick Brown deal. You got what he's worth. Patrick Brown is essentially a really good American Hockey League forward, a quasi-fourth liner in the NHL. Cool, you got a sixth-round pick. Whoop-de-doo. Yeah. And the Zach McEwen for the fifth in 2024 and Lemieux trade, McEwen and Lemieux are essentially the same player. They're rough and tough third, fourth liners who every once in a while will give you a glimpse of offense, but don't hold your breath because it's not going to stay there for very long. And, you know, it also, with the bringing in Lemieux, you're bringing in yet another player who, by today's standards, a lot of more our generation of hockey fans and younger fans aren't going to like, because the dude is an absolute scumbag politically, just like Tony DeAngelo and just like Ivan Provorov. It's like the Flyers are trying to collect all the MAGA anti-gay people. Like, that's what they're just trying to do. It's like, oh, hey, how can we make ourselves look even worse to the public eye? Yeah. But if you want to separate sports from politics, looking at things rationally, I guess is the best way to say it. I'll put aside my negative thoughts on Lemieux as a person, but as a hockey player, you know, if you want to keep that Broad Street bully, orange and black mentality, could be a decent Flyer. You know, he's got pedigree from his name. His dad was one hell of a player, also a scumbag human being. I mean, he's got some upside. He was a former first round draft pick by Winnipeg. You know, he was the main piece in the Kevin Hayes deal when Kevin got traded to Winnipeg and Lemieux went to New York. He was with New York for a while, then he got sent out to LA. You know, he could be a useful player, but he's a UFA, so if he doesn't pan out, he doesn't pan out. Oh, well, wash your hands, take the fifth round draft pick. But going back to Chuck Fletcher, you're seeing reports now that apparently from Frank Saravalli that the Flyers ask for JVR was not just a second round or a third round draft pick. It was a second and a third.
Yeah.
Now, to me personally, I thought you might be able to get a second for JVR, depending on the right team. You never know, but a third round pick makes sense. But asking for both for a player of his skill set and injury history lately this past couple years, who hasn't really scored 30 goals since before he signed with us a couple years ago. That's a lot to ask, but don't tell me, don't lie. Like the press conference that he did immediately Friday afternoon, that got played on the Fanatic and on NBC Sports Philadelphia, was complete and utter bullshit from him. And I love how the media asked him legitimate questions and kept on hounding and pressuring him. I love the fact that you got the quote of, man, you guys aren't going to let this go. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
But don't brag saying, oh, I made 17 phone calls. Bruh, that Friday alone, I made 63 phone calls for my sales job alone that day at that present time when that press conference happened. Do not brag to me about making 17 phone calls. I have 17 phone calls made before 11 o'clock in the morning.
You could have traded JVR at your job.
You know what? I probably could have. Honestly, I probably could have traded JVR and got fair value for him. This is ridiculous. This is the reality we're in right now, is we're going nowhere. We're not getting any better. If we keep on winning hockey games, we're not going to pick top five in the draft. So that lowers our chances for an extreme level talented player.
Yeah.
Like what the hell are we doing? And like the fan base, I love how the national hockey media, like the big time beat reporters up in Canada, like Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman, and everyone is going, oh, hey, Flyers fans are pissed off.
Yep.
Like, yeah, we've been pissed off for like almost 12, 10 years now. We had to deal with Ron Hextall's bullshit. And then we thought, oh, hey, Chuck Fletcher, oh, hey, that one year, oh, then COVID hits, and then all of a sudden everything's freaking derailed. We got a tease. We had one good year where we thought, you know what, hey, maybe the Flyers have rounded the corner here. Maybe Chuck Fletcher isn't the same guy he was in Minnesota. Got our hopes up for fucking nothing. There's two. Sorry. If you can't tell, I'm really mad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just really, really mad. If I didn't have plans this weekend, there's actually a fan strike going to be taking place down at the Broad Street Bullies Pub outside of Xfinity Live Saturday morning starting at 10 a.m. I saw Flyers Nation tweeted it out about it. If I didn't have plans this weekend for my grandfather's 90th birthday, I would be down there. I am that mad. Like, I did not bleed for this team. I do not have a Flyers tattoo because I'm a fair weather fan.
Yeah.
Like, it hates me that I have this attitude now where, do I really want to watch the team tonight? Like, do I really want to sit down and watch a game? I mean, yeah, you're going to see good things from Owen Tippett. Maybe you'll see a good night from Joel Farabee if he wants to show up. You know, it sucks TK Cert. Scott Laughton is earning to me that he should be named the next captain of this team.
Yep.
There are some good things. The goaltending's been relatively good all year. Like, I think that's the one bright spot we have going for us is our goaltending.
Yeah.
I really need ownership to wake up. Like, I know, to the people calling for Comcast to sell the team, that's never going to happen. Comcast Spectacor is never going to sell this hockey team. Mm-hmm. It is their child. Now, unless, I mean, of course, if everything is available for the right price. But who in their right mind would want to buy the Flyers right now?
Yeah.
They're a pretty negative asset, I would feel like. So to the people who want Comcast to sell the team, that's just not going to happen. And stop asking or looking for that. But man, they need really, like, Dave Scott needs to be removed. They need someone else put in charge who's actually a somewhat smart hockey owner, and they need to completely clean house. If Danny Briere does get named GM, you know what, so be it. And I guess eventually I'll be okay with it because he did a good job running the Maine Mariners. Apparently he's done a decent job here with the big club. But right now, just knowing that the fact that he's been groomed by Chuck Fletcher doesn't give me any confidence in one of my former favorite Flyers of all time to be the GM of this team. And I am way, 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 way over hockey dinosaurs. I love these players because of what they've done for this team in the past. Keyword, in the past.
Yeah.
Bobby Clark, Bill Barber, Paul Holmgren. Flyers legends. Guess what, dudes? You guys are elderly. You're going to die soon. Not trying to get too dark here, but you're going to die soon. And your view on how hockey should be played is not how the game is played anymore. So stop giving your opinion to people on how to run a hockey team when it doesn't win games in the year 2023. You gotta go. All of you. Appreciate your time. Thank you for your service. Go retire in some beach down south. Move to Florida. Everyone retires in Florida. Go to fucking Florida. There's three. I promise I won't have any more tonight. I'm just that mad. I really am mad. Like, I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to say at times. It's just amazing. You would have asked me 10 years ago in 2013. You know, I would have thought maybe we have a couple hiccups here and there. Things would have been okay.
Yeah.
But here we are a decade later. I'm be turning 32. The team hasn't been good since I was 18, 19, 20 years old, really, consistently. Mm-hmm. Like, at this point, I've seen the Phillies win a World Series. I've seen the Eagles win a Super Bowl. I have zero confidence that the Flyers are going to win a championship in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Pretty accurate.
They've gotten close. But, like, there are teams who, when we started this podcast, Matt, I said, you know, in 5 years, the Rangers, the Penguins, the Islanders, the Devils, they're all going to be below us. The Flyers are going to be king of the division. We're going to be in the cup mix every year. This is going to be freaking awesome. Guess what? Devils have passed us. The Rangers have passed us. The Islanders are still somehow better than us. Pittsburgh, they're kind of coming down to our level here because they have Ron Hextall as GM and their fan base is not happy right now. But I don't feel sad for the Pittsburgh Penguins and their fans. Oh, boo-hoo, the league hand you two franchise-altering players because you were going to move to Kansas City and, oh, you won three cups in the span since 2009. I don't feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
But, like, we were supposed to be better than all these teams by now.
Yeah.
And we're not. And there's literally, there's no bright spot. There's nothing good to look forward to. I mean, yeah, Cutter Gauthier, maybe. Even though I've learned he's a high draft pick. Until you actually see him play at the pro level, you don't know anything, which really stinks. But, like, they're probably not picking first overall.
No.
Like, who knows where we're going to end up picking? Would I just love if we got gifted lottery rights and got first overall? Hell yes. Would love that. Would be ecstatic because that's Connor Bedard. But are we going to get that? Probably not. So, and I cannot continue on this path knowing that the current brain trust of the organization is the brain trust running things now. Because with this group, led with all the Broad Street Bullies and Chuck Fletcher, nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And that is scary. It's really, really scary. And the Flyers continue to be tone deaf.
Mm-hmm.
I just got literature in the mail this week on becoming a season ticket holder yet again. Matt, never did I ever think in my entire life, you know, I'm involved in Flyers Twitter, you know, so is our podcast, so are you, but we're not the biggest personalities there. Never did I think I would have a video get 15,500 views on Twitter.
Yeah.
My video where I just flipped over the back of the card and says Fire Fletcher, 15,500 views, almost 200 likes in about 20 retweets.
I'm in the presence of a viral sensation.
I mean, it will never happen again. I'm a flash in the pan, baby. But we're just like, I didn't like doing that. Like, I didn't want to be that fan who does that stuff. But I'm just, at this point, I'm just like, how do you have the balls to mail this stuff out right now?
Yeah.
Like, who is renewing their season tickets right now? Crazy people who like enjoying burning money on fire. Because you're not getting anything of value. You're not reselling the tickets on the market. The team's not worth shit to go see live.
No.
So, you know, I wrote return to sender on that little postcard and I put it back in the mail. So if anyone from the Flyers organization is checking the mail in a couple of days, you're going to get that same little season ticket brochure back to you.
So, you're doing the Lord's work.
It's just.
Yeah. Actually, so I guess segueing into our next topic of discussion with the Flyers we can review, just a quick story before we get into that. So I was at a thrift store this past weekend, and funny enough, I saw a t-shirt that I had donated on the rack, which was cool.
Oh, hey-o.
Just a little interesting tidbit, but also there was a toddler, I think it was a toddler shirt, and it was the Flyers Eastern Conference Championship t-shirt. And I said to my friend, I literally said to him, do you know what's sad? He goes, what? I'm like, that shirt is 13 years old. Like, that's the last any sort of, like, thing that we've had to be proud of from this organization is, again, not even a Stanley Cup, but a conference championship. Like, it's, again, like you said, I mean, we've said this ad nauseum plenty of times before, and we'll probably continue to say it from here, but this team just has no vision.
That's what we want.
No sense of direction. Like, it's just like
a plan. We need a plan.
Yeah. Our best person in charge right now is Torts. Like, and I'm glad we at least have a competent coach. I think he's done what he can. I mean, obviously you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. You can polish a turd, but it's still a turd. So I think that's kind of what Tortorella's been doing this season, which is good. I mean, again, I think him and the players can take solace in the fact that they're improving as individuals and as a unit, but until the front office is dealt with, then it's going to just continually be like, we're going to hang a banner for the fifth most improved team at some point.
And that's not even accurate. Like that statistic, Matt, that Fletcher said, I think we're like actually the seventh. We're not even the fifth.
I mean,
he just spewed lies in that press conference, and you could tell he didn't want to be doing it, which was also very funny. Like, he looked uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, but hey, I think that's the media's job, where they have to ask him. I won't say they serve the fans, but they're the inside look that the fans get at what's really going on in the organization. And for them to be able to ask those hard-hitting questions to a guy who needs to be held accountable, then the more the merrier. I mean, they have to – I think, again, at this point, and as we have been doing – and I'm not making it out to be like a crusade or anything like that, but I think that Fletcher and the organization can't feel comfortable. They don't deserve to feel comfortable where they are, because they should know that they're in a bad spot. And I hope that, again, the media continues to ask those questions that makes them uncomfortable, because I mean, in life, when you're uncomfortable and when things are like tough or anything like that, then that's when they need to change. Like,
yeah.
You don't get anywhere staying in your comfort zone, so to speak.
No. And
that applies to this as well, where the media – I'm not saying the media needs to drive Fletcher out, but I'm just saying they need to – and again, I hate to use the word, but it's like they need to expose him for what's really going on. Because, again, it's he deserves to be held accountable. They have to do their job by asking these questions as well. And, the media are the gatekeepers, and they're doing the job that they need to do, which is great, because we're getting these quotes from Fletcher where it's like you're saying, he's scared or he's uncomfortable or he's indifferent, like, which is good, because he needs to be on the hot seat. The hot seat should feel like he's sitting on a piece of like hot lava, but it's hopefully it just continues to get hotter from here.
Yeah, and the media, they asked I think good and proper questions in that press conference. Now, to the fans who constantly say, like, oh, why can't you bring up X, Y, and Z, and you need to be harder, and like, at the end of the day, like, these people still have jobs, and if they ask the questions that you want asked, they're going to get their press pass revoked, and they're going to be out of a job. Yeah. So they still have to make a living and, earn their keep. Yeah. And the people who just want these ridiculous questions asked, like, you can't do it.
No.
Like, I know you have a lot of beat writers in Charlie O'Connor and Russ Joy and Ant Sanfilippo who oftentimes disagree with each other. Usually Ant San and Russ Joy are on the same side and Charlie's on the other side. Mm-hmm. But when Charlie O'Connor makes a thread and states why he doesn't ask some of these questions, and then you get Russ Joy and Aunt San both commenting and retweeting it and backing him up, that's when you know, like, they're doing their jobs and they're doing it to the best of their ability, and they're asking, you know, the good hard questions that can be allowed to be asked. Because at the end of the day, you don't want anyone to lose your job. But, like, to the people who want these ridiculous questions asked, if you ask those questions, you wouldn't be given any access anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that simple.
Yep.
And I also love the fact that on Saturday, we can start to move forward now here, Matt, is the Flyers had their season ticket holder town hall with Chuck Fletcher and all of the Flyers, you know, front office cronies. And I just love how they sent out Steve Coates to try and tell the audience to be kind and don't push it too far and don't ruin it for other people. And of course, Fletcher gets booed mercilessly, which is fantastic. But then you have Coates to go, oh, what did I tell you? Like, Coatesy, shut up. Yeah. You're on radio for a reason. NBC took you on. I mean, I love Coatesy. He's a Flyers treasure, but again, he's a Flyers dinosaur.
Yeah.
So I loved Chuck Fletcher getting booed there. And that clip's gone viral. That clip got played on Chicklets. It got played on 32 Thoughts. Like, that was truly a piece of media that went viral. That deserved to go viral.
Mm-hmm. Actually, speaking of viral too, I guess I can get into the week in review too. So if you didn't know, last Wednesday, obviously the Flyers played the Rangers at the Wells Fargo Center. The Flyers ultimately ended up losing 3-2 in overtime. I don't want to call it lucky or fortunate enough, but I am thankful and grateful to my friend that did give me tickets. Shout out to him. But oh my God, dude. I've never experienced any opposing fan base come into the Wells Fargo Center or whatever that arena is called ever in my life as strong as the Rangers fan presence was there on Wednesday. From the beginning, I mean, I could tell where my friend and I, him and I, were saying to each other, like, wow, there's a lot of blue here. Like, obviously Rangers jerseys and stuff like that. And then I forgot it was a 7:30 game. We got there at 6:30, so we had like a whole hour before everything, which was fine. I mean, we got a beer, we walked around, all that stuff. But, I mean, just from the start, I could tell that it was going to be, I guess, embarrassing. It was going to be weird. It was going to be sad where when fans were gathering around the tunnel area down near the glass for warmups, the amount of Rangers fans around their tunnel and near their glass compared to the Flyers fans around the Flyers tunnel and the Flyers glass on their side for warmups was like night and day. I mean, there were like when the Rangers came out of the tunnel, it was cheers. It was like, it felt like a home game at MSG. Like, it was insane. And at that point too, I mean, I think, again, maybe one of the reasons why there were so many people there for the Rangers was because a lot of fans probably thought that Patrick Kane was going to play that night. So they wanted to obviously get tickets. And, hell, I mean, you drive an hour and a half from New York City and, like, you just pay probably, I don't know, $30 for a Flyers ticket. Like, you're set. I mean, so it was MSG South, as I was calling it, that night.
Which is embarrassing. You never thought you'd see that in Philadelphia.
Yep. What I was saying too is like, just keeping with the fans and stuff like that, the Rangers, like Rangers fans were chanting, "Let's go Rangers." They were drowning out the Flyers fans. The Rangers scored like 3 minutes into the game on the power play. And it literally, I mean, it sounded like a home game for them where they, like, people were cheering, obviously. They were doing the goal song chant that they do, like the, oh, like, it was, I felt like I was almost like in the Avengers where it's like, oh my God, like, we lost. Like, this is insane. Like, it was one of the lowest, probably the lowest point I've had as a fan, just like seeing another team take over like that. Because you only see that from other teams. Like, we were so used to seeing it from, like, again, when we were growing up, like, maybe the Blue Jackets, the Coyotes. But you never thought, like, the Flyers, like, one of the premier organizations in the NHL in sports, like, this is what it would come to. This is where we are now. Like, it was traumatic, to be honest. It was shocking. I was like, I never thought I would see this, like, in all my days, blah, blah, blah. Rangers fans were also chanting for Shesterkin, doing the Igor chant, like, when he would make big saves. When the Rangers scored, it was like, again, a home crowd for them. Like, it was insane. And as I was saying about the viral thing, is that there was a clip of the OT winner that Vlad Tarasenko scored of, like, again, it from the video, and again, from me being there in person, it looked like a Rangers home game. Like, and it sounded like one when they scored. It was crazy. So there was that. And then I will say too, the game was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. The Flyers actually did play pretty well for the most part. Hart played well. Shesterkin played well. As I said before, Owen Tippett was like a man on a mission the entire game. He seemed like he was everywhere. He had a goal. Scott Laughton had a crazy nice sharp angle goal, which was unreal. So, I mean, again, a 3-2 loss isn't terrible. But it's like when you have one of your premier rivals in the league and the division, whatever, outnumber your fans in your own barn, you know there's problems. And again, I was beyond myself for thinking, like, this is insane. Like, how did it, like, not to be dramatic, but it's like, how did we get here? Like, And again, I can't imagine that's going to be the last of it at this point either.
You know what? And I'm going to say something spicy right here. That needs to happen more often.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That'll be the ticker. That's going to get ownership to realize they've got a big problem here. Is when Philadelphia fans stop coming to games and your barn gets taken over by a New York team.
Yeah.
Like, New York, I am making a pitch out now. I never thought I'd ever hear myself do this. Devils fans, Islanders fans, Rangers fans, come to Philadelphia. Buy tickets to our games. Make sure Philadelphia Flyers fans aren't at the Wells Fargo Center. Because that's the only thing that's going to make them wake up. Is yes, Comcast will still get their money that way because the barn's selling out. But the optics and the negative press of the Wells Fargo Center of Philadelphia being taken over by New York, that's going to weigh heavy.
Yeah.
And it needs, like, I'm amazed. Watching Flyers games this year, I'm amazed there's as many people there that have been showing up to games. Even to both games I've attended, to both games I've attended, I've been to two games this year.
Yeah.
And both crowds are like, I'm surprised there's this many people here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? Like, why are we people, like, we have no, like, I've gone because, one, it was cheap tickets to help out a friend and his hockey team, and the other was a tradition I always do with a group of friends. We go see the Flyers play the Avalanche. That's just what we always do.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the team itself gives you no reason to go there. Like, the next time I'm doing anything remotely affiliated with the Flyers is we're going to see the Phantoms play. On April 1st in Allentown. The Phantoms, I have no problem. I'll drive up to Allentown. If I want to watch good hockey, I'll watch the Phantoms.
Yeah.
I'll watch any other team in the National Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
But I ain't watching the Flyers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. But yeah, I mean, moving on from there, the Flyers, again, they lose that game in OT. They have 3 days off from Thursday through Saturday. Back at it on Sunday afternoon.
It was this evening game, like 6 evenings, o'clock.
Yeah. Saturday. Oh yeah, it was Sunday evening. That's right. I forgot. That's why I probably didn't realize it was on. But yeah, Sunday evening against the Detroit Red Wings back at the Wells Fargo Center. They play. I mean, I didn't watch much of this, but they played well. Almost 40 shots on goal, which is good. The Red Wings only had 26. Carter Hart made 25 saves, and the Flyers at that time handed the Red Wings their sixth straight loss. Nick Deslauriers scored a nice – I saw his nice shorthanded goal, which was sweet. He's a guy, honestly, I don't mind.
You mind his contract and the moment.
I mind the contract, but I don't mind the player.
Yeah, so he's fine. He's a fourth line punching bag.
Yeah,
it's just what he does.
But yeah,
but that goal.
Yeah,
part of hell froze over because I never thought I'd see that man score and break away, but it happened.
Yep. Both teams 0-for on the power play. The Red Wings 0-for-2. The Flyers 0-for-3. Again, the Flyers out shooting them 37-26. I mean, you can't complain about a win too much. Obviously, a win's a win, but again, this doesn't help the Flyers, and obviously it hindered the Red Wings. It was their sixth straight loss, but the Red Wings are in a lot better position in the future right now as the Flyers are, so it's really just kind of water off the back for them. Yep. And then we go to just last night, the Flyers head down to Tampa Bay, and it was an ugly one. The Flyers got out of the first period tied 1-1, and then the Lightning scored 3 goals in the second period and 1 in the third.
The Flyers got embarrassed in that second period.
Yeah.
It was ugly.
I mean, their penalty kill got exposed. The Lightning were 3-for-6 on the power play. 6 penalties in a game, you're gonna pay the price, especially against a team like the Lightning. The Flyers were 0-for-3 on the power play. Shots weren't too bad. I mean, the Lightning had 39 with the Flyers having 35.
But Hartland had a couple ugly ones. He did not really have a good night in net.
Gotcha. But I mean, I think the main takeaway from last night was Anthony DeAngelo's spearing of Corey Perry in the crotch. He speared
the
him
nether
in the
regions.
Yeah, he speared him in the nuts with just over 2 minutes left in the game. He was assessed a match penalty and a game misconduct. Ultimately, earlier today, it was announced that he was also suspended for 2 games. So, I mean, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Maybe he thought that obviously the wires crossed, but hey. But it also, I mean, again, a guy like Corey Perry and speared in the nuts, it's kind of funny.
I mean, Corey Perry probably did something to earn some type of punishment, but his career, but you never, fellow guy to fellow guy, you never want to see another guy get speared in the meat and two veg.
Yeah.
Like that, and you just, it hurts talking about it. And like, Tony DeAngelo gave up. Oh, I didn't mean to do it. Didn't know I was going to spear him there. Bullshit. Tony, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
Cut me that chat. Like, you knew exactly what you're doing. And I called it last night. I looked over at Brenna, and I said, he's going to get 2 or 3 game suspension for that. And he rightfully so deserves it. And you know what? Fine. Cool. Sitting Tony out in the lineup, that's good for the Flyers. Because it helps another defenseman who's worse than him get in the lineup. Which means they're probably going to lose some games. So let's get that draft capital up, baby.
Yeah. And then I think it was 10 seconds after that, with 2 minutes left in the game, Nikita Kucherov scores like basically an easy goal.
Oh, yeah. Immediately.
And the game was already, the Flyers did, they ultimately did have a chance to come back, but like that penalty obviously sealed the deal for them. And then again, Kucherov goes right down and scores. So a rough one last night in Tampa. And then just looking ahead here until possibly when we come back with you guys here on the airwaves, the Flyers are back at it in Carolina tomorrow night against the Hurricanes at 7 o'clock.
They're going to get crushed tomorrow night. I hope Ghost scores tomorrow night for the Hurricanes.
I wouldn't write that out of the question.
Would love to see it.
Yeah. And then a Saturday mid-afternoon game at 3:30
on ABC.
Yeah, hockey day on ABC, something like that.
So, you know, it's a national televised game.
Oh,
you know the Penguins are going to embarrass the Flyers. Yeah, even though the Penguins are not going so well, Crosby's going to put on a show Saturday.
Yep. So Saturday at 3:30, they're in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. And then probably right before we get back with you here on the airwaves, they're back at the Wells Fargo Center for a 6-game homestand over the next 2 weeks, they face off against the Vegas Golden Knights on Tuesday the 14th at 7 o'clock, and hopefully we'll be back to recap that week for you, and could very easily be 0-3 again. But those are the next 3 games they have coming up, and we just kind of go from there.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, but things are not looking too bright in Flyerland. I mean, there is The one bright spot you have to look forward to is I know Boston College and Cutter Gauthier are starting their playoffs soon. So depending on when, if and slash when their season ends, maybe Cutter turns pro. Would be nice to see him sign his deal and get into some games. The Flyers, by trading away Patrick Brown, do have a roster spot available, so they could sign him to a contract now. So that might be interesting if Cutter Gauthier turns pro, but only time will tell for that. But yeah, not a whole lot to look forward here, Flyers fans.
No, I mean, again, I think we're back at the point where it's like, you know, we play out the rest of the season and that's kind of it. I mean, there's the next thing to kind of, again, quote unquote, hope for, but there's really no, there's not much hope for it, is obviously the draft lottery. But even then, I mean, we kind of said at the beginning of the season where the Flyers are going to do what they've always done, where they play well enough to not be in the draft lottery, but they're not bad enough to be in it. Like, they're just, again, they're in that, they're stuck in that purgatory. So, and they very well might be back there again coming up.
I mean, they're in 25th place overall in the entire National Hockey League. So the teams below them are Vancouver, Montreal, Arizona, Anaheim, San Jose, Chicago, and Columbus.
Dude, I'll tell you this right now, and it's going to make me sick, but if I'm a betting man, I'm saying that Connor Bedard goes to the Blackhawks.
Oh, it would, and then you know it was totally the league tampered. Like the league said, yes, we're going to give Chicago another franchise level player.
Yeah, because it's like the Blackhawks. They don't have Kane anymore. Taze is out because of his health.
And his career is probably over.
Yeah, like so, it's like, dude, like I have some, again, I have some sort of like sick feeling that he's gonna end up there,
or he's gonna end up in Columbus and be in the division.
Yeah, I mean, either way.
I mean, I wouldn't mind, like, if he goes to Columbus, good for Columbus. But, yeah, like, if he goes to Chicago or if he goes to Arizona, it's like, one, why are you wasting your time sending him to Arizona? And two, if he goes to Chicago, that's clear. Just, that's tampering. Just straight up. Like, the league did that on purpose.
Yeah, it's, I mean, again, not much we can do about it, so.
No.
But, Dave, with that, I think we're kind of over it for the week. I know, yeah, we didn't go around the league, but around the league was a lot around the league with the, yes, trade deadline happening. And I'll let everyone know that obviously if you want to see all the trades that happen, just go to NHL.com. They have the full trade tracker of every trade that's happened since July, I think. So
yeah, and you even listen to the podcast from last week with Hoagie, because Hoagie, yeah, and I pretty much covered all the major trades that went down.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, again, I think hopefully next week, once again, things settle down after the deadline, we'll be back to our regular just talking about the good old Flyers and going around the league and letting everyone go on with their lives. But it's good to be back on the airwaves. And, you know, like we said before, we just see what happens from here.
Yeah. You know, glad to have you back, Matt. Before we do end things this week, we got to give our annual PSA to all of our listeners to check out our affiliates in the Pod Street Bullies. And again, a thank you to Pod Street Hoags for hopping on the pod last week. He's a great pal and great friend to do that when we're in a bind. But if you're listening to our podcast, listen to theirs. If you like us, you'll like them. It's easy as that. Check out the Pod Street Bullies and their lovely podcasts on all your favorite podcast receptacles. But other than that, Matt, I got nothing else for this evening.
I'm all good, sir.
So with that, Flyers fans, keep on trying to find joy somewhere else in your life, because the Flyers aren't going to bring it to you. Find a Western Conference hockey team to root for. Hell, if you want to root for another Eastern team, go for it. I ain't going to stop you. But with that, we'll be back next week. So good night and good hockey.